Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, and we are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. So, let's talk about free agency, the trade market for a second, acquiring veteran players. Because there is the entry draft and undrafted free agency, which is the UDFAs. We know all about that. So, again, put that off to the side. But there's unrestricted free agency, and then there is the trade market, which is kind of like a de facto free agency. For instance, last year, Keenan Allen was acquired by the Bears from the Chargers, but that was a trade. And there are a lot of moves that are made that are technically trades, even though they're really free agent signings. DeMarco Murray is an example of that with the Titans. The Titans swapped spots in the fourth round with Philadelphia in order to acquire DeMarco Murray. They didn't give up a pick. They just gave up, again, spots in the third round, in the fourth round, but they got the player. So let's separate, again, this is the veteran player talent acquisition into three separate yet equally important groups. Number one, the hot ticket items. Number two, the, let me put this in quotations again, cap casualties. Did you just see that on the stream?
No.
There were just balloons that just went up.
Oh, I bet you did something special with your new fancy computer.
I just did a little quotation with my fingers, and all of a sudden I saw these balloons go up. Whatever. Anywho, the cap casualties, cap, and then the discount section. Think of that like when you go to Walmart and they have those bins, you know, $9.99 for AirPods kind of thing. You overpay for one, the hot ticket item. You're getting a discarded item with number two, the cap casualties, and you're getting something everybody has already passed on, which is the discount rack with the third. For example, last year, Lloyd Cushenberry was a hot ticket item. You paid top of the market money. He's one of the highest paid centers in the NFL, and you got him on day one of free agency. A discount section buy would be Quandre Diggs and Jamal Adams. And even going further, you know, again, cap casualty, I use it. Those are guys that other teams don't want, but there is a value on your team for that guy. And an example of that, I already brought up DeMarco Murray. I think that's an example. He wasn't a cap casualty, but Philly didn't want him anymore, and he wanted a trade, and so he came to you. So here's how I view it when it comes to the Titans. With needs at quarterback, edge rusher, left tackle, or right tackle, depending on where you want to play, J.C. Latham, right guard, tight end, inside backer, and safety, you're going to have to fill needs in free agency. Right now, I think the Titans are soured on free agency. Because remember, when Chad Brinker got thrusted into the number one position, he kept talking about draft, develop, and retain. And because last year was the offseason of $100 million in cap space, this year was going to be the offseason where free agency, bad. But free agency is not bad. See, smart people understand how free agency in the NFL works. Rand Carthon did not. So here's a couple of edicts when it comes to managing free agency and what the Titans need to do in order to build a successful team for next year. Now, I didn't say a Super Bowl team, but I did say a successful team. Number one, only overpay on specific players. If there is one specific player that you have to have, you can overpay for that guy. For instance, if you just need a running back and there are seven running backs available, you do not overpay. You just wait. First running back gets overpaid by somebody who just had to have that running back. Then a couple more running backs. There's seven running backs available. By the time you get down to six and seven, these guys are taking $2 million contracts. But I think an example of where you overpay last year is the Green Bay Packers with Xavier McKinney. If you remember, the Green Bay Packers, the safety market was loaded last year with tons of names, and we know it because the Titans needed a safety, and they waited until the very, 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 very end for Quandre Diggs, which, again, is fine if you just need a safety. But Green Bay didn't just need a safety. Green Bay wanted that specific safety. So when it came to Xavier McKinney, they gave him almost more guaranteed money at $23 million than the total value for any other safety, period. C.J. Gardner-Johnson signed with the Eagles for $27 million total. So they guaranteed Xavier McKinney $23 million, which was a much bigger deal, and then $27 million total for C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Guess what? Xavier McKinney's first team All-Pro. That was the guy they wanted. They paid the premium. They got it. When it's one guy, you have to have. Now put that to the side, because we'll talk about overpaying in just a little bit. Number two, no premiums for injured players. Sorry, but injured guys stay injured. It's a fact. Tyron Smith would be a great left tackle, Jared. Yes, but Tyron Smith is always hurt. So if you sign Tyron Smith and J.C. Latham moves to right tackle and then Tyron Smith gets hurt, which is inevitable, guess who's probably going to be playing left tackle for the Tennessee Titans? Ian Nicholas T. Frere, a.k.a.?
P.T.
P.T. Now, again, if you wait until week three of free agency and someone signs a $4 million contract with playing with playtime incentives, that's another thing. Because you still have the resources to be able to go sign more people. But not premiums. Like, Legarius Sneed. Number three, don't get guys who used to be good. Get guys who are showing that they are currently getting better. Vic Beasley was an example of this. You know, he led the NFL in sacks in 2016. But by the 2020 offseason, the Falcons weren't interested in keeping him at all. Why? Because he was done. He was done when he got to the Titans. Why do I say this? Because there are going to be players whose names you've heard of where you're like, Khalil Mack! But Khalil Mack isn't Khalil Mack anymore. Let's use the unrestricted free agent wide receivers. Who would you rather sign, DeAndre Hopkins or Nick Westbrook-Ikhine? Who's better now? Who will be better next year? Who will be better 3 years from now? And I think most of us know the answer is, it ain't D-Hop. So don't worry about guys who used to be good. Worry about guys who are starting to become good. And then the fourth and final thing about free agency. Pick swaps and minor trades are a de facto free agency for teams that are looking to get rid of players, but they maybe like to get a little something-something in return. And again, DeMarco Murray was an example of that. They swapped spots in the fourth round, and the Titans got the AFC's leading rusher. Last year, the Ravens wanted to move on from right tackle Morgan Moses, so they swapped spots in the fourth round with the Jets, and the Jets got a starting right tackle. Where the hell were you on that? I don't know. So while you can go Google in on any list and find out who the free agents are, we don't know who these teams are going to cut, and we also don't know who these teams have on the books for next year who, you know, I really don't want to pay this guy $7 million, but maybe I would be willing to pay him $7 million. And those are pick swaps, minor trades. Again, you send a third and they send back 2/4 and it kind of equals out, plus you end up getting the player and a salary. Seventh rounders, you know, again, those little minor trades. That's how you got Leroy Watson last year, for whatever that's worth. So that's free agency. Again, just because Rand Carthon spent a bunch of money on guys that Brian Callahan knew were guys with high price tags and it didn't work out doesn't mean that free agency is bad. The Commanders spent $70 million last year in free agency. They got good players because they're smart. And so, again, you really can fill a lot of these holes, because I know a lot of you are looking at these draft picks and you're saying, oh, God, Jared, we need 100 draft picks. That's what unrestricted free agency's for. Spending is good, but you still have to spend appropriately. And last year they didn't. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number on the program. We'll get to your phones. But I have pursued all the different lists at the top of free agency. And I've seen all the different lists with potential cap cuts. And I haven't made out the free agent board yet. But there are two guys who I would be interested in overpaying. I think you know one of them. And I'm sure you have no idea about the other. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5 The Game.
What can you tell us about Minnesota's plan for Darnold?
There's a sense in the Vikings building of not necessarily wanting to let a 27-year-old quarterback who just had the year Sam Darnold had walk out the building and get nothing in return. The question is, can they afford it? Can they franchise him? Can they sign him to a long-term deal? And what does that mean for the future of J.J. McCarthy, who a year ago was the 10th pick in the draft and ideally from the Vikings standpoint will be their long-term starter at the position? You look at J.J. McCarthy's cap numbers over the next 3 years, it's $5 million, $6 million, $7 million. You start talking about re-signing Sam Darnold or franchising him at numbers like that, you really have to adjust your plan for the rest of your roster build if you do that. Now, the Vikings are going over their options. It is entirely possible they make an effort to bring Sam Darnold back. It's entirely possible they franchise him, similarly to what I said about T. Higgins, in an effort to work out a long-term deal or maybe get something in return in trade. But these are complicated issues that the Vikings are working through here over the next couple of weeks, and right now it's hard to predict how it turns out.
It is not complicated. I said that yesterday. And then, Ian, today while I was shoveling my driveway, I was listening to yesterday's Felger and Maz.
Yeah.
And they were talking about T. Higgins. And they were talking about, you know, so in order to get T. Higgins, would you have to give up two first-round picks? And what would the Bengals want? And what would the Bengals will take a second-round pick for T. Higgins. If you have a high enough second round, they will take a second-round pick for T. Higgins. They will. That's what they wanted last year. That's what they want this year. They want something in return for Higgins. They don't want two first. But people just don't know the rules of franchise tagging. And I get frustrated, but at the same time, I have to remind myself that this is my job and your job is whatever it is you do for a living. Like if you're a cardiologist, you're not worried about what the little intricacies of the rules of the franchise tag are. So at least I do understand that frustration. But let me exhale for a second because, again, I mean, Graziano's on TV, but these are very complicated discussions. No, they're not. Who do you like more, Darnold or J.J.? Oh, you like J.J. more? Do you want something for Darnold but risk having to pay him $40 million to be a backup if you really like J.J.? Okay, you are willing to risk it? Tag him. You're not? Let him go into free agency. Oh, you like Darnold more than you like J.J.? Tag Darnold. Start taking calls on J.J., and then once you trade J.J., work out a deal with Darnold. Makes sense to me. But that wasn't the topic of discussion here. I said there are two players in unrestricted free agency who I would be willing to overpay. If you want to get a player at the top of the market in unrestricted free agency, especially when you stink, you have to overpay. That's what the Titans did for Lloyd Cushenberry. They overpaid. That's what the Titans did for Calvin Ridley. They overpaid. Everybody else, for the most part, was kind of fair market value. I wouldn't even say they overpaid on L'Jarius Sneed. In fact, L'Jarius Sneed probably got a fair contract if he didn't have bad knees that everybody in the league knew about except for the Titans. But when it comes to overpaying, there is a time and a place. The Jaguars a couple years ago overpaid for Christian Kirk, but it was the right decision because he was the only guy on the market for them to get. It reset the entire wide receiver market. But if they didn't do that, they wouldn't have had anybody for Trevor Lawrence to throw the ball to. So after perusing all the lists, there are two guys who I would overpay. Now, you all know who the first one is. It's Sam Darnold. Somebody texts into the text line. Matthew in Nashville said, I'm guessing the first guy is Sam Darnold and the second guy is Trey Smith or T. Higgins. Though I would caution you with Higgins because the last 2 years he's missed have been multiple games with a hamstring injury. I am not interested in T. Higgins or Trey Smith at what their prices will be. I am not overpaying for a guard. The first is Sam Darnold. The insiders say that they expect a Baker Mayfield contract, which is like $35 million a year, and I would pay Darnold in the 40s. I've said 4 years, 164, which is $41 million per year. And if I had to go to like 43, I would. But I overpay because it guarantees that I get the quarterback that I want. And in this case, he's the only guy out there. He's the only starting quarterback out there who has the potential to be a stable franchise quarterback. And again, I'm not talking about Mahomes or anything like that. I'm talking about what Tannehill was for you. He's the only guy out there who features that. And so since he's the only guy, I'd overpay. Now, if you're like, no on Darnold, no on overpaying, then I really don't care. You know, we just see whatever shakes out from the tree. Rodgers, Daniel Jones, Mac Jones, whatever. But for me, there's a group of about, hold on, I got the list in front of me. There's a list of 8 quarterbacks. Sam Darnold, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, Daniel Jones, Mac Jones, and Gardner Minshew. There's one guy I want in that group, Darnold, all overpay. So that's the first one. And again, I think that was probably the obvious one. The second one is Alaric Jackson. And I don't even know if I'm pronouncing his first name right. Alaric Jackson, the left tackle of the LA Rams. He is formerly an undrafted free agent. Most of you have never heard of this guy before. Ian, have you ever heard of Alaric Jackson?
I have not, no.
Alaric Jackson is 6'7", 285 pounds, so he's good size. He could stand to use a little bit of weight. But he's 6'7", 285 pounds. He is a former undrafted free agent, which I'm sure a lot of people are like, what? Out of Iowa. He was a UDFA in 2021. Alaric Jackson has been their starting left tackle for the last 2 years, and he's allowed 4 sacks over the last 2 years on 1,861 snaps. Pro Football Focus suggests that on the free agent market, Alaric Jackson is worth 4 years and $58 million. I believe I did the math on that, and I think that's somewhere around $15 million a year. I would give him 4 years and $64 million. That would be an AAV of $16 million, which 7 years ago was a lot of money. Now, franchise left tackles are in the 25 range, 26 range. I'll go to 16. I might even go to 18 in order to get, again, a starting left tackle in the NFL. If I sign Alaric Jackson, again, I'll overpay. If I sign Alaric Jackson, he plays left tackle. J.C. Latham moves to right tackle, which is probably the position that he should have been playing all along. I mean, he allowed 22 pressures all of last season, according to Pro Football Focus. PT averaged that in 3 games. His overall grade at left tackle, 78.3. That is by far better than anything you've had. His pass blocking grade, 79.5. Only 4 quarterback hits allowed last year, 3 sacks allowed, and 7 penalties. That's less than half a penalty a game. So I will overpay from all the available tackles that are out there. Now, look, I think there's going to be a robust market, and it would not surprise me if the Rams end up franchising Alaric Jackson. But with all the names you've heard, you'll hear of Ronnie Stanley, and there will be some guys that get cut that you'll heard of. This is a guy who plays and I think has been developed well by the Rams. Again, he's been a starter for the last 2 years. He played the first 4 years. I mean, he played, I believe, I'm looking at this correctly, he was kind of a swing tackle guard, a backup offensive lineman his second year. Played 256 snaps at right guard and 166 snaps at left tackle. In the last 2 years, he's played over 1,000 snaps at left tackle. He is a franchise left tackle. Sold. Those are the two guys I'd overpay. Which means with everybody else, again, I'm looking at probably $40 million for Darnold when everybody else is thinking $30 million. So I'll overpay $10 million there. It'll cost me 2 players. I'm okay with that. And with Alaric Jackson, I will pay $17 million if I need to stick him over there. Everything else is going to have to be bargain basement or pick swaps or trades where other teams eat the money and then send me the player. That's what it'll have to be. And I'm okay with that. Because if I get my quarterback and I get my left tackle, then I'm good. That's what I'm looking for. But this is a big-sized, legitimate left tackle. That's what you need. And if you buy it in unrestricted free agency, you don't have to worry about using a pick. Oh, we got to fill tackle. Oh, we got to. You don't have to worry about that. Those are the two guys, Darnold and Alaric Jackson. 615-737-1025. Add that to the list. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company. We'll get to your phones next. 1025-106 for the game.
If you were looking at a Darnold, I don't know if you've been posed this specifically or not. Would you trade your second-round pick for Darnold with the hopes that he's actually like a guy on the rise, still young, and you actually have like a legit top half of the league starter for several years?
I don't think I would, but if they did, it would have to be that. Like, he's your long-term guy.
That's not a bridge. That's the quarterback.
Yeah, you see, at least five years of Sam Darnold. The only reason you're drafting a quarterback is for a guy behind him who you hope you could develop for way down the road, or to flip as an asset, or because you think, he's a fifth-round guy who could be a backup quarterback in the league, and you're now spending all your assets to surround Sam Darnold. And I don't know. I mean, Sam Darnold was good in Minnesota because he's surrounded by a very good team. So he's not going to be nearly that good early with Tennessee because he's not going to be surrounded by nearly as good a team.
So Paul says, I don't know if I'd trade 35 for Sam Darnold. By the way, shouldn't he have been on the morning show when Joe posed that question? Shouldn't he have said, what do you mean? He's not going to get the tag. I just did a victory lap on Friday with Stilly about the fact that I said Sam Darnold wasn't going to get the tag.
Guess you could argue that.
I think that should have been Paul's reaction. In fact, I'm a little shocked it wasn't. So let me say this. I do believe that the Vikings are going to tag Sam Darnold, and I believe the Vikings are doing it in hopes that the demand is outweighing the supply at quarterback, and that will spur a bidding war. And the good news is, I think that means that they'll trade him. And I think they'll probably trade him to you.
Do you think if they tag him, that does anything to maybe like affects the trade situation? Because if the Vikings tag Darnold, that pretty much means if nobody trades for him, they have to use him at that number, right? Whatever it is, 40-something mil?
Sure, unless they rescind the tag, which is complicated, but yes.
And so teams pretty much at that point either have to rework Darnold's deal to a contract, and does that like give extra leverage to Darnold, knowing that they gave up a pick and you pretty much have to pay high value for Darnold and his new contract? And do a bunch of teams want to do that?
But the thing is that in order to make the trade, you work out the contract while you do the trade. The Titans did all of this last year with L'Jarius Sneed. If you remember, the Titans in Kansas City, I think, had the compensation worked out, but Sneed wanted north of $20 million a year, and the Titans weren't willing to go there. And so there was like, I think it was TD that said, oh yeah, I mean, the Titans are in, but the price has to go down in order for the Titans to want to execute the deal with L'Jarius Sneed. And I think L'Jarius Sneed's a good example, because Kansas City was never going to keep L'Jarius Sneed on their team. They were never going to do it, especially after they had signed Chris Jones to that massive contract extension. Kansas City's not a big spender. You know, we look at Kansas City and we don't treat them like the Bengals, but they're not big spenders. They're a cheap team. Like, New England is a cheap team. And it used to be that New England was a cheap team because New England was smart. But the truth is, New England's cheap because Robert Kraft doesn't like to write big checks. Dallas, very cheap team. And so Kansas City did not want to keep L'Jarius Sneed. But what they did was they franchise tagged him. Now, I think they thought they were going to get a first-round pick for L'Jarius Sneed. And I think the Bengals franchise T. Higgins, again, another cheap team. I think the Bengals franchise T. Higgins thinking they were going to get a low first-round pick or a high second-round pick in exchange for Higgins. And every team that they probably talked to about Higgins probably looked at him and said, why would I trade for T. Higgins and then have to give T. Higgins this massive contract extension when I could just draft the next T. Higgins with a, you know, Keon Coleman, A.D. Mitchell, you know, all these great receivers that we were being told about last year. I mean, think about it this way. The Jags didn't keep Calvin Ridley because they wanted to move on to Brian Thomas. I'd say that was probably a pretty good idea. So I do think that, like, we know how this works. If the Vikings tag Darnold, now it's a three-person negotiation between Tennessee, Minnesota, and Darnold. And, yes, to me, you have to work out the deal. This isn't like, hey, let's trade the 35th pick in the draft, go get Sam Darnold, and then, you know, see how he plays for a year on a $40 million tag. Like, no, like, I'm making the trade, and Sam Darnold is the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans for the next 3 years. And I think there's a lot of people out there that are like, I don't know about that, Jared. I don't know if I could commit to him for the next 3 years. Well, let me just say this. Not too long ago, you took one good year from Ryan Tannehill and chose that over Tom Brady and made the same commitment. It was a 4-year contract for Tannehill that was really a 3-year contract. And again, with all these contracts, as the Denver Broncos proved, if you end up getting a lemon, you can get out of it. But all I'm doing is making the same decision that Titan fans were in favor of, including me, which was the Ryan Tannehill contract extension after the second half of the season that Ryan Tannehill had in 2019. Prior to 2019, everybody, including you, thought Ryan Tannehill was a backup. He had a $17 million salary. He took a $10 million pay cut. The Miami Dolphins paid him $5 million the day of the trade, sent him to the Titans, who paid him $2 million, ended up in the AFC title game because of Derrick Henry, and then gave Ryan Tannehill $100 million and that big contract. It's the same thing. And all I ever hear when it comes to Sam Darnold is he's had one good year, Jared, and he won't be as good without Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings. Well, no duh. Nobody is as good when they don't have good players around them. Again, Tannehill. Let's use him as the example. Do you think Tannehill was the problem in Miami, or do you think it was he didn't have Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown and Arthur Smith? That's what it is. Again, what I'm doing, which you guys hate, is I am getting the same Ryan Tannehill, although Darnold's a little bit younger than Tannehill was at the time. I think Tannehill was like 30 at the time, and Darnold is 28 or will be 28 this year. I'm doing the Tannehill thing again so I can build up my team around a Tannehill-ish quarterback. I think Darnold's got a little bit more talent than Tannehill, but Tannehill had plenty of talent too. And 5 years ago, everybody was like, yeah, Tannehill, that's our guy. And now it's like, no, we don't want to do that. One texter says, Sam Darnold will be this year's Joe Alt. You're setting yourself up for disappointment. I mean, I just don't, like, again, there are three options when it comes to being a starting quarterback. The term that Mike Borgonzi uses, introductory press conference, he used it on the midday show. He used it a lot, like when he was talking about what they did in Kansas City. And if you listen to Borgonzi, it's like all Kansas City all the time. But what they do is they solidified the quarterback position, which meant, hey, we got a starter and we got a guy. Not we got the guy. We got a guy. You hear solidify the quarterback position in Kansas City, and you think they're talking about Mahomes. he made this clear, he's talking about Alex Smith. Like right now, let's use Arizona, Tampa Bay. Let's use Tampa Bay as the example. Does Tampa have a top-of-the-league franchise quarterback? No. But would you say Tampa Bay is solid at the quarterback position for the foreseeable future? And you know the answer is yes. What about Jared Goff? Like, is he a top-of-the-league quarterback? You know the answer to that is no. But are they solidified at the quarterback position? Again, the Lions aren't sitting there saying, oh, God, what are we going to do? That's what I'm doing. Again, it's like Tannehill 2.0. That's what I'm doing. 615-737-1025 on the program. So there is a rumor, and boy, this is the definition of rumor. And now that so many people have brought this up, I'll address it, because why not? We'll do it next. It's a Titans trade rumor. We'll do this next. Stillman & Company, 102.5 The Game. You have Abdul Carter at 1-1. In order to move, what would it take to get you to move off Abdul Carter?
Future. I don't mind future first-round picks and even future second-round picks, because this is a team, the Titans, that needs a whole lot of players. They're not going to restock their team and make a Super Bowl run in 2025. It's not going to happen. And so I wouldn't mind having the patience. But that's what it would take, because, again, when you talk about picks, you're talking about players. And this is a team that doesn't just need guys. You know, okay, so at linebacker, I got a guy. He's okay. He's an average NFL player. No. This is a team that is largely bereft of game-changing playmakers. And it's difficult to find those guys farther down in the draft. Now, you do find those guys farther down in the draft, but you're more likely to find them higher in the draft.
There you go. That was Trevor on our program saying, like, if you're going to move me off of Abdul Carter, you're going to have to give him a fortune. So there is a tweet that is out there. This comes from Brett Hoffman on Twitter. He says, NFL draft expert for PFN 365, which I don't even know what that is, but whatever. Fantasy football analyst for at Sleeper NFL. He's got 2,000 followers, and the only one that I follow that follows him is Ricky Merritt. So, Ian, with that, I'd say let's take this with a humongous grain of salt. But this is how information works nowadays, is people just say stuff, and it's like, did you see? Did you see? Here is his trade, or here's what his post is. The Jets have contacted the Titans to discuss the number one pick in the NFL draft to go draft Cam Ward. Potential trade package. So the news item here is the Jets have called the Titans inquiring about Cam Ward.
Moving on up.
Here is the trade package that he suggests. A first round pick this year, second round pick this year, first round pick next year, second round pick next year, and another second rounder in 2027. So, two firsts and three seconds. And you would say, yes! 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 Number one, I don't buy any of this. I mean, I'm sure the Titans have had calls about the first pick, just the check-ins of, hey, what would you think about? But I don't think that those talks have intensified at all. But secondly, I don't think that that's really a fair trade package. I mean, according to the trade chart, here's what it would take in order for the Jets to get the seventh pick. The Titans would trade the first overall pick and their fourth rounder, 119, which I believe is Seattle's because of the Ernest Jones trade, and a sixth rounder at 180 in exchange for seven, which he said was in the package, 42, which he said was in the package, their first next year, which he said was in the package, their second next year, which he said was in the package, and then he included a second rounder in 27. The trade chart calls for 92 in the third round and a first rounder in 27. That's what the trade chart calls for. Now, granted, you may have to take a little bit less than the trade chart this year just because it's not necessarily a good quarterback draft, but if the Jets are willing to offer up all that stuff to go get Cam Ward, then they're telling you it is a good quarterback draft. So that's the deal that they would have to make with me, to move off of Abdul Carter. Now, if I didn't like Abdul Carter, and again, what do I know about Abdul Carter? But Trevor says, no, you don't just move off of Abdul Carter. He is a big-time player. You move off of Abdul Carter if it's worth it, then I would need the entire trade package. I would need, again, 7, 42, 92, your first in the next two drafts, and your second next year, and you get a fourth rounder and a sixth rounder back in return. That's what I would need. Again, there has to be some sort of prize for stinking that badly. And the prize this year looks like it's Abdul Carter. And again, I keep going back to the Detroit Lions 2 years ago. Their team was horrible in 2021. Now, by the second half of the year, they had replaced Anthony Lynn with Ben Johnson, the tight ends coach, and they really had him running the offense. And they were still god-awful. And they started the 22 season off god-awful. So people were down on Jared Goff at that point. And people believed, like, you have to take a quarterback. Even though these quarterbacks stink, you have to take them. Meanwhile, the Lions were sitting there saying, please, Jacksonville, do not take Abdul Carter. Please, Jacksonville, do not take please do not take Aiden Hutchinson. Please do not take Aiden Hutchinson. Please do not take Aiden Hutchinson. Please do not. And they didn't. And they took Aiden Hutchinson. And I think that, again, Aiden Hutchinson, and I know he was hurt this year, but Aiden Hutchinson is a foundational player of what the Lions are doing. The Lions built their entire team around Jared Goff. I'm suggesting you do that around Sam Darnold. And I think Sam Darnold is in the exact same category, in the exact same class as Jared Goff. So I'm not just giving away Abdul Carter. Just like in a bad draft, the Lions didn't just give away Aiden Hutchinson. One texter says, that Jets rumor is BS. If there was an offer, reports would be all over the place that we have a deal in place, and Seven still gets Tyler Warren. First of all, that's not how this works. That's what Mike in PA says. Everybody thinks that, like, reporters are so good at their jobs. I'll never forget. We used to have a host by the name of Nick Kale. Ian, you remember when Nick Kale got all mad at me that one day, right?
Yes, I do. You guys almost fought right here in front of me.
What started, I did not fight. You say we almost fought. He wanted to fight me. I was like, brother, chill out. In fact, when I think I can talk about this stuff now, right?
Sure.
Like everybody that was involved in it's not here anymore. So when I got called into the office over this, they were like, our general manager at the time, she was like, so what were you thinking? We played the audio of Nick Kale, like putting his finger, you know, getting mad at me or whatever. And she was like, what were you thinking as this was going on? And I was in the room with the PD and her, and I was like, honestly? They're like, yeah. I was like, I was thinking, okay, what do I do now that keeps me from having to go into Jana's office to talk about this? Like that's what I was thinking. But anywho, what started his anger that day was he was like, you don't think Adam Vingan is a good enough hockey reporter to be able to know if there's a problem inside the Preds locker room with PK Subban? I said no. Because, again, the way it works in a lot of these things is the only things that get out are what people want out. Now, I agree. I think it's BS. Because if it was real, there probably would be some more people talking. Or if they wanted it out there, there'd be more than just this Scarbini talking about it. But at the same time, in the NFL, if you want a secret kept, you can keep it. The Denver Broncos were all in for Aaron Rodgers. They hired Aaron's offensive coordinator to be their head coach. They had spent a year and a half recruiting Aaron. They worked out a deal at the Senior Bowl for Russell Wilson, and nobody knew. Nobody knew. Nobody knew that at the Combine, Philadelphia had approached Seattle about a deal for Russell Wilson, and Russell declined because they don't want it out. So when I see something's out there, like the Stafford and the Rams stuff, when I see this is out there, the reason that's out there is because somebody wants it out there. That's how this stuff gets out there. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number on the program, 615-737-1025 here on the program. Daniel Jeremiah at NFL Network has a mock draft out. And I'll be very happy if what he says is going to happen happens. And the why he explains it happens makes me very, very happy. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025 The Game.